You're listening to the Music Review Database Podcast. The name Coronbase Lifeform should ring a bell with most fans of ambient and downtempo music. The guys from Sweden are well known for their laid-back and mellow ambient music, mixed with house and the occasional drone thrown in for good measure. With 5 successful releases on the French Ultimate Records label, and several side projects like Sync24 and Thermostatic, they have made their mark on the electronic music landscape. I recently caught up with the guys to speak about the past, the present and the future of Coronbase Lifeform, and to pick their minds a bit about the music and the way they tour. I hope you're having as much fun listening to this as I had making this, and I'll see you on the other side. The music you hear in the background is the title track from their album Interloper, which was released in 2007. So my first question is, how about your musical background? Did you grow up in a musical family, and when was the first time that you decided you wanted to make music?
Whoa.
me, Gratis, it's I had pretty musical background, my musical family. My uncle played the trumpet and piano and the jazz thing. My father liked to play the blues on his guitar when he was drunk. Not very good, but he liked to
but
do
still.
It. So it's music has always been around, but so yeah.
For me, none. Besides the basic, flute and piano in school.
You had a piano at home as well.
Yeah, my mother's piano, but she didn't play that much. But right, yeah. So I started basically on that piano.
You did too.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So piano was the first instrument, really. So no real musical background at all, besides a good, really interest for it and the electronic music.
And how did the two of you meet?
I switched school in ninth grade and basically ended up in Daniel's class. When I was 15, and I don't know, I don't think he liked me at first. And,
no, he was tagged as a geek once he entered my class, so I sort of rejected him at first. And through a friend, we started playing role playing games. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
We have a board and
yeah,
the story and everything like that. So he sort of wedged his way into that group, and we started chatting and everything fell into place with music, movies and
comics and stuff.
Comics, everything. So basically we started, I don't know, a year at most after we met to write music. Not good music, but but we started anyway.
Yeah. Trackers on the Amiga 500.
Yeah, that was.
And what was the music you made at first? The bat music.
All kinds. We struggled through genres.
At first, I don't think we had a plan. It's just, oh, this sounds funny.
Yeah, it was.
So it was almost rock music and.
Yeah, played just around with the tracker. Just we got sounds and just fooled around and sometimes it was. Yeah, rock music or ballads or house music and all types of stuff. Luckily, we don't have it anymore. It's gone.
And what draws you towards ambient and downtempo music?
It goes way back. In Sweden, we had when we were kids, we had no TV channels at all. We only had tube channels. And during the summer break, there was this program that went on in the morning, really early. And they, before they started, they had like this pause music, and it was always like Vangelis and Jean-Michel Jarre and stuff like that, and that kind of stuck in my head at least, and so it's always been there. But it took me until I was 20 or something before I connected the dots and figured out what kind of music it was. I just always liked it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And was it the same for you, Daniel?
Yeah, it's the same actually, and from that, listening to Jarre and you know Future Son of London and everything, I think the breakpoint was the Solar Quest album that, oddly enough, Johannes' sister bought because she thought the cover was pretty, and that ended up being, you know, the sort of Bible for us to crack the code on how to make really, really good soundscapes. So we really listened,
studied
that album and made it our own sound based on what we learned from that one.
And I really have to ask this one. The TB-303 is widely known as a synthesizer, which is used in acid house and psytrance. What made you decide to use it in your production?
Now that goes back to Solar Quest as well, because he did some very... Well, he used it as a background sound, basically, mm-hmm. in some tracks. And we really love acid music, so... So for us, it was like, oh, cool, we can use it for ambient. So we made some, I think it's called Proton Electron, which is basically only 303 mm-hmm. for textures and everything. So,
and yeah. We really love it, so we use it everywhere.
Yeah, as much
anyway,
as we can.
Yeah.
And how would you describe your music to somebody who has never heard your music before?
I get that question at work a lot. And I work with people not that into music. But I say it's like music for nature films.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Recently, I started to describe it as. Do you know about the Norwegian band Røyksopp?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I describe it. Most people around here know about it. So I tell them that the slow tracks with Røyksopp is in the same neighborhood. And most people get it sort of.
And how do you approach the production side of the music? Do you go into the studio with a specific idea, or do you influence each other and create music on the go?
We usually start out by ourselves and start with playing around with sounds until we get something that you like, and then I take it to Daniel and he likes it, or vice versa, and if the other one likes it, we make a song out of it. So basically, it's just start out with a couple of bars.
And on rare occasions, we sit together and start from scratch, but that's really rare.
Yeah.
And when your music was first released to the public, what was the reaction from the fans like? And how did that make you feel?
That was awesome, because we... the first was Ultimae. Was 6581 on the compilation, and later on the album, and we got really good reviews, and so it was a dream come true, really, and all the good feedback was just, you know,
yeah, that's lovely,
cream and sugar and unicorns.
And what track are you two the most proud of?
Ow.
I can imagine that's a hard question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, I think it's M.
Yeah.
Depends on depends on the day, but today I think M.
I have no idea. I think Ponto Synthesis is a really good one as well. So.
And let me try to make it a bit easier for you. Which album is your favorite?
That's not easier.
Well, there are less things to choose from.
Yeah, sure. Production-wise, I think Interloper, but as a whole album, I would say World of Sleepers. I think
Interloper, World of Sleepers.
Interloper is my favorite album as well. It just grabs me and doesn't let go. To me, it is fantastic.
That's good, because most you know, hardcore CBL fans tend to, you know, look back to Hydroponic Garden and World of Sleepers as the original CBL sound. And
I think that depends when you discover the music.
True, true.
But if you've heard Hydroponic Garden first, you like that one the most.
Mm-mm.
Seems to be like that, because we have really adamant fans for all three albums who say that this is the CBL sound.
Yeah.
Well, this conveniently brings me over to my next point. Because your latest album, 23, is a drone album, while your other albums were predominantly not. What made the two of you decide to move from the downtempo-esque sound of the earlier albums to the drones on 23? Is it something you want to do more in the future, or was this a one-off?
The plan was to make Interloper a drone album. So we started out, we had tracks like Super Seed and stuff, which we kind of, yeah, it's pretty cool, but this could really use a beat. And
Polyrhythmy was like,
yeah,
just the arpeggio and
Johannes. Yeah, just the intro.
Yeah.
And I had a nagging feeling that there's something else in here somewhere. Yeah. So we started digging around, and then we ended up with, okay, we put the drone album on hold for a while and make Interloper instead. But I don't know if we're doing more of that, perhaps.
Probably not.
No, not the next album is definitely a downtempo one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are influenced by some other artists or people, who are they?
Definitely influenced. Solar Quest, we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Very huge inspiration, especially for the first album.
Yeah.
M83. Yeah, sure.
For the Interloper, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hammock. Force of Canada, huge influence.
Cute Sonalon used to be, but I'm not sure.
Not anymore. They haven't released anything as good as Lifeforms. So.
True.
But yeah, Future Sound of London was a huge deal when we started out as well.
Yeah.
And what influences you?
Simple nature and technology.
Yeah, that's a recipe, really.
Nice and easy.
You sort of, I think you hear it and you see it on the covers. It's always trees and antennas and stuff all the time. So that's basically it.
And if you can name them, and I'm just throwing it out there, just for the sake of throwing it out there, what are your five favorite albums?
I say Org Ship. Because
Solar Quest Org Ship.
And blank.
I think for me it's Solar Quest Org Ship, Future Sound of London, Lifeforms.
Mm, second.
Something by Kraftwerk, definitely. Man Machine, maybe.
It's a really tough question.
Yeah, it is. I had the Hammock. I really love The Longest Year. And the fifth. Yeah, probably Boards of Canada. Music has the right to children. It's a love album.
Mm.
You did manage to answer that with some ease.
I will throw in Depeche Mode Violator as well in that one for me. Actually, far away, but still.
Well, I've got some more hard questions lined up for you. Is there an artist or a group, dead or alive, that you would want to record with if you could?
Orbital.
But what should they do? They do the same thing as we do.
Yeah, but still. It would be cool. We have cool glasses.
Mm, yeah, that's for sure.
Prodigy, perhaps. It's way out there, but I think Liam is really cool.
You've recently released two CDs under the name TSR, which is together with Solar Fields. What was it like working with him on that project?
That was a long time ago.
Those albums are like, I don't know.
They're from 1998, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
So, but we're friends and you know, so it was great fun just getting together again and sort of re-experience the 10 years ago.
Yeah. Fixing up some production and stuff. So yeah. He's a really easygoing guy.
And he's really, you get really inspired when you're working with him because he's, you know, everything. He's very quick and we're very slow.
Yeah. It takes us a couple of years to make an album.
Yeah.
But he makes one a year. Couple of months.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference. And we have very different ways of production, of working as well.
Uh-uh.
We program a lot of stuff, and he's played. An older jazz musician, so he plays everything. Very quick.
Yeah, but we work well together, I would say. Yeah. So the outcome is we have the third one coming up here in a few weeks.
Probably something like that.
And is that a new album or is that something from way back?
Yeah, it's really from way back because it was lost for 10 years.
Yeah.
Lost?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, there were just one CDR with the waveforms. So we don't have the work files anymore. So we just have to restore what was left of it. Yeah. And we added some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that CD was actually lost for 10 years because we didn't have anything.
Yeah, we had a nagging feeling that we've probably done it.
Yeah,
we only could find one track from it, so we're really a bit confused. And then
some tracks we don't remember doing.
Yeah,
that's true, actually.
Speaking as somebody who has never seen you perform live, could you describe your live show to me?
I would say it's like any other electronic musician these days. We have a laptop and controllers and basically bang our heads and push some buttons.
Yeah.
So
add some effects and stuff.
Yeah.
And it changed a lot for us. In the beginning, we played like chill out areas and some small rave parties and stuff. Actual
chill outs, yeah.
Yeah.
Where people were chilling out.
Yeah. So people just came and left and got high and doing...
Slept and stuff.
But then I think it was... started to turn around and become... The audience became more lively in 2000 or 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
On Ozora in Hungary. And now it's when we... Now we're not playing Ozora anymore, but when we did, it was...
Energetic.
Rock shows.
Rock shows, yeah. People screaming, people, you know...
Very bizarre.
Yeah.
Experience.
Applause, your encores.
It's hard to imagine people cheering and asking for an encore in an ambient show, which just shows to me how far you two have come over the years.
Yeah, you should look up some live clips on YouTube. There's from Ozora and another really weird one in Poland, in a city called Krakow. There were 1,500 people just screaming.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Really bizarre. And really, really fun, of course. So you can see a real difference throughout the years.
Have you got some stories about being on the road? Have you got some funny tour stories of things you've seen or done?
My first experience on a festival. I've never been to a festival before. I played at Boom in 2004. That was when Johannes didn't fly, so I played alone for, I don't know, 4 years or something like that. So first show was Boom 2004, and I ended up in the same bus as Star Sound Orchestra. And one of the guys took something and started to swim inside the car. For real. And that was my first experience with festivals and trans festivals in general, and that scared me a bit. Actually,
and nobody on the label told him that don't stay there for the whole festival, just go there and play and go back.
Mm-mm.
So I stayed
there for 5 nights, I think.
And so he called me after 2 nights and asked me, do you think you could check if there's a plane home? It's very cold here and warm in the day.
That was terrible.
Yeah. I was really glad I didn't fly back then.
Mm-hmm. It got better.
Yeah.
So that's one, I don't think.
It usually doesn't happen that much crazy things.
No, it's only been... Well, there was the guy in Italy who...
Oh, yeah.
The funny thing is that time in Boom, I in the car was also Space Tribe. And I only met him twice, and both times the the car ride has been weird, to say the least. And 2006 in Italy, we met up again. And the guy driving us drove from the airport, drove for an hour, and then we ended up on the same airport again. And later on, he stopped at a gas station who was closed down, run over the freeway, and then started to refill his car and didn't see. So he
his friend bought a Sippolider.
Sippolider. Close to the gasoline. And I just saw the back of Space Tribe just running away. He just took off, man. So that was a really weird experience as well. So stuff happened.
And definitely. And what so far has been a highlight of your career?
Yeah.
I think maybe it's playing Azora.
I would think so. Yeah, last time at Azora.
Yeah.
2011, that was something else.
Yeah, really huge crowd, and they rebuilt the shell out area, so it looks like a something coming out of the ground.
Yeah,
beautiful
inside
building.
Sort of a cathedral.
Yeah, that was
really, really cool.
This one's for Daniel. You've just released Comfortable Void under the Sing 24 name, and I was wondering, what was the fan reaction like? Because there has been a huge time frame between the first album and the second album.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I was compared to CBL, so I have to say the reactions were mellow, but you know, but good, yeah, positive, definitely. I, for one, think it's a much better album, but so yeah, I would say good reactions, but it's difficult, you know, because I have CBL to compare to. So it's more like a little brother that's slightly retarded.
And what's it like to release music apart from carbon-based life forms? And then do you have to fight for your own place, or does your music stand out enough on its own to be viewed as an individual project, or...?
I'm really feeling that I'm sort of tagging along. And it's a great output for as I said before, we make embryos, and if Johannes doesn't feel that it's a CBL track, I can do what I want with it. So it's a great output, you know. Collaborating is well, for us it's a blessing, but in other projects it could be a real struggle, you know, to go back and forth, and you don't really get your say. But when I'm alone, I can do whatever I want, and so in that sense it's good to have it.
All right, thanks for answering that. This might be a hard question, but with all the debate that's going on now in the music industry, I want to know your opinion on it. What do you think of illegally downloading music?
It's good promotion, really.
Yeah.
So you're not fazed about missing out on the financial part of releasing music because people are downloading it illegally and not paying you?
No.
No, as we get paid pretty good anyway, so... I think that people who really likes it, and they buy it from iTunes or something, I guess.
Yeah, I like to imagine that you download it, and if you like it, you 1 out of 10 buy it. So yeah. In the end, we get, you know, some money.
Yeah. And it's basically for making albums, it's okay, it's hard work for us for a couple of months, but in the end, we can't just get paid shitloads of money for stuff we did years ago. It's, yeah, it's a weird thing. Mm-mm. But it's great if people pay, but
we appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate
but
it.
But we actually added a donation button on our website.
I saw that.
Yeah, so if people download, and you know, because they don't want to pay the iTunes or whatever, mm-hmm. they can download and they can give us whatever,
pay us directly if they want to.
Yeah, whatever amount they want.
One thing that actually amazes me is that you have normal day jobs, which is strange to me because you're so big in the ambient and down-tempo scene.
Ambient scene is not that big, no. Unfortunately.
it's possible to survive, like as Dana and Solofi is doing it. But you have to, you know, release another album every year and really play a lot of places.
And yeah, and we kind of do not publish this like straight out. But it's we came since we are on the Ultimi label. It's harder for us to, I think, to get into like more conventional places, more regular places. I think we have like a more trans festival.
Yeah, we sort of to us. Marked is a hard word, but sort of marked as the psy scene.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we end up on trans festivals and on those places. It's a full on act. So
yeah, that's lovely, but it's hard to get into like more conventional. Yeah. Mm-mm. Places that do that kind of music. We actually played a festival this summer in Sweden, which is more posh electronica, art music and stuff. And that was great fun. Mm-mm. Weird gig though. People just, it's a very strange building and But so it feels like maybe we're moving closer to that kind of scene. But it's been hard. It's just been trans festivals basically. And ambient is usually like Brian Eno and
Enigma.
No, Enigma is not ambient, but sort of. No, it's a different scene.
Yeah,
we're more in the trance scene, unfortunately.
And also, if we were to, you know, rely on our music to pay our bills, we might have another quality to it. Now we do music when we want and what we want, without, you know, having to
stress out over it. It's music is just a bonus.
And then now over to a burning question: what lies in the future for carbon-based life forms?
We're not really sure.
No, we're not. Next up is, if everything goes well, it's a soundtrack for a sort of post-apocalyptic horror movie thingy. And after that, we'll hide, I think, for a few years to explore.
Yeah.
So is it safe to say that there's not a new album that's in the works at the moment?
Yeah.
There is one, or there isn't one.
we have not started working on it. We've begun talking about what it should be.
Yeah.
So there is one coming, but it's a long way away.
Well, I will be happy to fly out there and motivate you guys.
You're welcome. Anytime.
That 23, we had like after Interloper, there was only a year after. Till 23 came, and that sort of messed up all our fans because they're used to, you know, waiting 3 years for another album. I would think that you have to wait for at least 2 years until the next one. Because we have to figure some things out in a good sense.
Seems like I'll just have to be patient.
You have four albums. What more do you want?
Well, it is a common thing to want more of the things you love, isn't it? Is there anything that you want to say to your fans? Do you want to share some behind the scenes information? Do you have any tips or tricks?
Whoa.
Thank you.
Yeah, a humble thank you.
If it's on a technical musical note, it's probably that reverb is your best instrument. But otherwise just it's in the music.
It's in the music, man. You don't actually need drugs to listen to our music.
No.
A lot of people do, I know, and they're free to do it, but you don't actually need to do it. Or maybe you do.
It's optional.
It's optional. It's fun.
Well, it seems we've burned through all my questions.
Cool. Good work. Good questions.
Thanks. Well, I'll probably speak to you when your next album is out, and which will be in 2 to 3 years. And thank you so much for your time, and have a great evening, guys.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Right, thanks people for listening to this podcast. If you want to know more about carbon-based lifeforms, visit www.carbonbasedlifeforms.net, where you can purchase their CDs and see when they tour. I sincerely urge you to check out their label as well, which is Ultimate Records, which is based in France and hosts a plethora of amazing artists. I hope I see you next time, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Stay tuned!